Okay, folks, welcome once again. This is Elvin Shamroth to our bi-weekly teleconference. And since we're always getting new people signing on every time throughout the year, just very briefly, we've got today two volunteers who submitted some cases that were of concern to them. I had a brief look at the issues, and they're very germane and important and relevant to everyone. So it's a good selection of cases. And I want to encourage all of you to volunteer. It's really very good practice, and it's good to be on the hot seat to answer questions and be prepared to defend certain decisions. So I encourage this. And we've got two people today. Both have submitted their names as anonymous. So I think I have two people that are registered as active participants. And I'm just going to mention the first names to see if they are, in fact, the people who volunteered these cases. So the first one is Raman. Raman, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. And are you one of the people who submitted a case for discussion?
Yes, I did.
Wonderful. Thank you for joining. So that's great. And the second person, Juanes, is, are you there? Juanes, is Juanes there? Not, maybe not at the moment.
Oh,
okay.
I think it's supposed to be Jessica.
Jessica, okay. Jessica, are you the other person who submitted the case
today?
Yeah, I
think Yeah.
Okay. All right, fine. Perfect. No problem at all. So we'll move right along then. That's great. So let's start with Raman. Raman, I think you just left us. Are you there still, Raman? I saw Raman just leave. So I'm hoping he or she will come back shortly. But in the absence, let's go with Jessica. Jessica, you had a case that you submitted, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not sure which one it is, but can I ask you to just go ahead and present it for the group, and then we'll discuss it.
Yeah. So this is a 15-year-old G0 who presented with pelvic pain. She has a history of left ovarian cyst, that is both cystectomy and aspiration, done 4 years ago outside of the country. Records were not available. She had ultrasound findings of a 4 to 5 centimeter complex left ovarian cyst. This was followed up with an MRI that confirmed a 5 centimeter bilobed cystic structure in the left adnexa with internal heterogeneous enhancement. After follow-up about a month later, an abdominal ultrasound was repeated, and it showed a 5 centimeter complex left ovarian cyst, possible dermoid. And then again, we decided to do expected management. She was started on OCPs. After a 6-week follow-up, she continued to have pelvic pain. The ultrasound was essentially unchanged. So we underwent to do a surgery for laparoscopic left cystectomy. During operation, it was found that the left ovary was just there's no good healthy ovarian tissue, so decision was made to do a left septal oophorectomy. There was no complications, and she recovered well. Surgical pathology confirmed ovary with mature cystic teratoma that was 40 grams and a benign fallopian tube.
And I'm assuming you're concerned, you're feeling bad because this is a 15-year-old who lost her at Nexum. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So first of all, nice presentation, short and brief, and that's great. Let me ask you a question. Do you think you did her a favor by removing that adnexum or not?
Yeah, because during my counseling with her, her and her mother were afraid of recurrence, and they were okay with having the ovary removed. But I just still felt so bad because she's so young. And so I really did everything
okay,
I could.
Okay, do you think you did the right thing?
I think so. I mean, I did try as much as I could, and I mean, it was all just taken by the teratoma.
So look, this is a classical case. It's terrible removing an ovary from a 15-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But I would go so far as to say that if you didn't do what you did, you would have a lot more explaining to do than having done what you did. Because you went through the right track. You tried conservative management. You observed. You watched and waited to see if this was going to disappear as a functional cyst, hopefully. But it was complex. In this age, it's most likely to be a mature teratoma. And eventually you took it to the OR. I think what you did was textbook. And so, yeah, it's a lousy outcome, but it's the appropriate mm-hmm. outcome for this patient in this presentation. And I think when you present, and this goes to all of you who have similar cases on your list, when you present a case like this, you really need to be totally open, honest, and sincere. And you need to say, and this is what Jessica is her issue, she needs to say this in the exam. You know, at the end of the day, I felt terrible removing an ovary on such a young woman, but I felt it was the right thing, and if a similar patient were to come to me tomorrow, I would do exactly the same thing. How does that sound to you, Jessica, if you were to say that in the exam?
Yeah, I agree. I think at the end of the day, looking back, it was the right decision. I mean, the patient was happy. Her parents were happy, just knowing that
even if they weren't happy,
she won't have to have that fear.
Yeah, but even if they weren't happy, you did the right thing. You followed standard of care. You gave her an opportunity mm-hmm. of conservative management. This mass did not go away. It was most likely a dermoid. It's not going to go away on its own. It needs to see the light of day. Now, the only argument I could make was it was only 4.5 centimeters. Was it really necessary to go in? And then you've got the added symptom. I think you said she was complaining of pain. So those two mm-hmm. things together clearly give you an easy justification. So I think mm-hmm. you're in great shape.
Great. Thank you.
There's no problem here. But there are two other things I want to bring up.
Yes.
You mentioned, and this is a general principle to everyone, Jessica mentioned that she had a follow-up MRI. Why did you order that follow-up MRI?
I didn't. The referring provider did it.
Okay, so do you think an MRI was warranted, or could a much easier, quicker, cheaper ultrasound have been adequate?
Yeah, so when she presented her, I agree, I just did another ultrasound. So that's why when I was effectively managing her, I only did another ultrasound. But she happened to present with both. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the principle here. With few exceptions in GYN, the visualization modality of choice is ultrasound. There are indications sometimes where you need a CT or an MRI, but this is not one of them. And they might accuse you of overutilization of resources for ordering a CT or an MRI when an ultrasound mm-hmm. would suffice. So if you've got, you, Jessica, and anyone else listening in, if you've got a case where you've got a CT or MRI, make a comment on the side why it was done. Maybe it was done for lymph nodes, and that would be totally appropriate. But in this case, you say, look, she was sent for an ultrasound. You could say, just add a sentence. This was done by a colleague or done in the ER. I would have just done a repeat ultrasound, but the CT showed a still persistent 5-centimeter cyst. Just add that little bit in. that it's not you ordering the ultrasound. Okay, does that make sense to you?
The MRI, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the last point I want to make, although this is a classical dermoid presentation, in any of you who've got a case like this, be prepared for a discussion that's ultimately going to land up being ovarian cancer. And basically what the examiner will want to converse with you is, what is your approach to an adnexal mass? What are the features of a clinical adnexal mass that make you more inclined to feel it's benign and observe, or be concerned for malignancy and warrant surgery? And then, if you're worried about surgery, what do you do? How do you open? Is it laparoscopic? Is it laparotomy? Is it you going in? Is it a gyn-onc going in? And do you get a frozen section? Do you do surgical washings upon entry? Do you do tumor markers preoperatively? What determines your level of concern for malignancy in an adnexal mass? And that's a favorite question, okay? And I wouldn't be surprised if this particular case goes down that road with you, Jessica. So you need to be comfortable mm-hmm. with that. And virtually anyone, which is virtually everyone in the exam who's got an adnexal mass, must be ready for all those questions that I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. So, Jessica, are you comfortable with that?
Yeah.
Do you have any other questions on this case?
No, just reviewing again the features of malignancy.
Yeah, and in a nutshell, you want to try and mention as many of these as possible. Size, complexity, the presence of solid areas, papillations, crescences, excrescences, ascites, bilaterality, age, positive tumor markers, and a mental cake when opening the abdomen. If you see a mental cake, that's a very bad sign. So those are the features of which tend to make one think of malignancy. I think I may have missed one or two, but I think I've got the vast majority of them there. But every single one of you need to know this, because this is a favorite exam discussion. Which adnexal masses raise the level of concern for malignancy and which don't? Okay. So, Jessica, are you okay with that then?
Yeah, thanks so much.
Okay, sure. Good. All righty, on to Raman. Raman, are you there again?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, wonderful. So why don't you go and briefly present your case to us? I've read it in your email already, but speak to everyone listening in and briefly tell us what the case is all about.
Yeah. My patient is a 22-year-old G1 with missed abortion at 8 weeks, which was diagnosed by ultrasound. We discussed different management options, and then she decided to proceed with suction DNC. On the day of the procedure, when I saw her in the pre-op area and I asked her about any new symptoms, then she told me that she actually started bleeding a few hours ago. She passed some cloths. She didn't know if she passed any tissue or not, and that her bleeding had slowed down, but she was still bleeding actively. So, you know, given that she may have passed pregnancy tissue, I counseled her again. I gave her the options of repeating ultrasound versus medical management, and that suction DNC may not be needed anymore. But the patient was very anxious, and she insisted on going ahead with the suction DNC as she was still there and bleeding. So I went ahead and did the suction DNC as per her wish. As I was suspecting, there was not much tissue that I got, and the pathology ultimately came back just decidualized endometrium without any fetal tissue or villi. So,
Without any what?
Fetal tissue or chorionic villi.
Okay, correct. Okay, good.
So I did follow up with her in 2 weeks, did a pregnancy test, which was negative. But my concern is I might come off as being too aggressive, you know, like because she technically didn't need a such DNC, so I don't know how to present and defend this case.
Okay, this too is not uncommon, and it's really very easy to defend. And the way to do it is to be blatantly open and honest. So I'm going to role play your situation. This patient came to me with I think you said she was a 6 week missed AB. 8 week missed AB. I counseled her we could await a spontaneous miscarriage or else do a DNC and she could be done with it. I counseled her on the pros and cons of both options, which you must be able to give in detail in the exam. And she elected to go with a DNC. And that was fine. On the day of the procedure, I spoke to her again pre-op, and she said she had started bleeding just a few hours ago, had passed some clots, was not able to answer the question if she had passed anything that could have looked like a gestational sac. And I again offered her the option of conservative management or to continue with the DNC. But she had psyched herself up for the DNC. She really felt she wanted to get this over and done with. And so she went with the DNC. Despite my explaining that she may have passed the pregnancy and the DNC might be redundant, she nevertheless wanted the DNC. I went ahead and did it, and I was keen to get the histology back, looking for villine trophoblastic tissue, any products of conception, but there was none. The only product of conception that there was decidua, which is maternal in origin. So on the basis of the histology in retrospect, this was a complete abortion, and as such, could have been followed with observation. But we did the path that she chose. It was not a wrong decision on her part going forward. And I think if I had a similar patient with a similar situation tomorrow, I think I would manage her exactly the same way. So, Raman, how does that response, how does that presentation sit with you as you hear me say it?
Yeah, it does sound good.
Would you be comfortable to present along those lines?
Yes.
Is there anything that bothers you? And be honest, yeah?
Yeah, it's if they ask me, yes, I would be able to present. My concern is how should I put it on the list so it doesn't automatically give a, you know, negative impression.
I want, this is the kind of case, I want to generate a conversation because it shows you in a positive light. The mm-hmm. fact that you had a negative DNC does not mean that you screwed up. Your whole defense comes in how you counsel the patient. Okay?
Okay.
So, as long as you're comfortable to counsel this patient appropriately, mm-hmm. this is a good case for you. If okay. this is a good case, and I want to word it in such a way that the examiner sees it and starts asking you questions about it. So I would write down 8 week missed AB, patient declined conservative management. A DNC, and then in the complications column, I would write complete abortion, in parenthesis, retrospective diagnosis. So if what you've presented is a pre and post, and I'd like all you folks in a similar situation to do it this way. You've written down a pre and a post diagnosis discrepancy. And that begs the question, what happened? And now you've got a beautiful answer for what happened. And that's the question you want to have. Does that make sense to you, Raman?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
Would you be comfortable to do that then?
Yes, I would.
Excellent. All right. Any other questions that you may have, Raman, on this case or any other case for that matter?
No, I think I feel comfortable with this case now. Thank you.
Sure. Folks, I know it's been very brief. We usually run 40 minutes or so, and it's only about 20-something minutes. But we're done. I don't want to extend it just for the sake of extending it. I hope all of you listening have found this helpful. Again, I strongly want to encourage you folks to volunteer. And you notice I always keep it anonymous. No one will know who the last name of the candidates are. So volunteer and tell your friends to join us. Now, our next teleseminar will be in 2 weeks' time on the 4th of June. Folks, I just wanted to share, we're getting to the end of case list collection. We've got another 5 weeks. Couple of things. Number one, I know it sounds like I'm plugging, but it's really important. If you have not yet attended our cases construction course, please go ahead and do so. It's really one of the single most important things that you can do that will have the greatest impact on your cases and your exam. So sign up and watch that cases review AV, audio-visual, as soon as possible. I also would like all of you to get to within 2 to 3 weeks maximum of having managed the patient, putting them down in your case list. And then with each subsequent week, you go from being 3 weeks behind to 2 weeks behind to 1 week behind. That way, by the time the deadline comes, you're up to date. But I really want you to aim for no more than 2 to 3 weeks behind after the time you're actually managing patients to enter them into the data. So that's the key thing right now. Again, if you do have any brief questions you're not sure how to handle, feel free to get in touch with me at info@examPro.com. Just put the issue in your email, put your telephone number and your time zone down, and I'll be more than happy to get back in touch with you and we can discuss it. So, with that out the way, again, our next teleseminar will be on the 4th of June. And I want to thank Jessica and Raman. And this then concludes our teleconference. Thank you so much, folks. I know it was brief, but we'll do it again in 2 weeks' time. Thank you so much and take care. Bye-bye.